Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have a special guest joining us. Anna Lozano is tapping in from Canada, and she is a multifaceted entrepreneur. And I am so excited for you guys to get to hear her journey into entrepreneurship and how her new journey has really evolved for this season of her life. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell the listeners a little bit about how you got into entrepreneurship.
Yes. Oh gosh. So it's now been a 15-year journey. It was really, I feel, a story that so many women resonate with and can relate to, actually. And I did the traditional thing growing up Polish immigrant in Canada. You got to study hard, get good grades, get that safe and secure job in a corporation. And then that's it. This is, you achieved the North American dream. And so that's what I did until I arrived in corporate and I looked around. I'm like, this is a CPG 500 firm. Like, this is the dream. I'm here. I've landed. And it just was not for me. And the main reason being is I had to market and sell products that I personally would never consume. And that was really my first intuitive hit, which I could not label that at that time. I didn't have the awareness to do that. But it was like, I just cannot sell something that I will not consume. I don't want people consuming it. And so I started, that was that first step in really looking at, okay, what else is there out there? And interestingly enough, came network marketing knocking on my door. But because I was so programmed in my mindset to think corporate professional C-suite, I didn't know what that industry was all about. What I knew is that it was a product that I actually wanted to consume for my own health and well-being. And so I said, yes, like, let's try this out. And what happened is I realized I was really good at entrepreneurship. I grew that company to the top of the company in 4.5 years. You know, did the thing, retired my husband, lived the freedom lifestyle. I was like, okay, this is amazing. And then I became a mom. I had my first daughter and I had this itch, this desire to create something of my own. So I partnered up with a friend and we dreamed up, built, scaled, and sold a product-based company. It was all focused around mindfulness and affirmations and gratitude for children. Because now I had been on a 6-year-plus journey of personal development and mindset transformation. And I just knew that this is how I wanted to raise my children, on this foundation of affirmations, self-love, gratitude, mindfulness. And so we decided to create a product, which did really well, considering we also had to grow a product-based business during a pandemic that no one could have ever predicted. And we had some amazing collaborations, really known brand in Canada. And then we decided once we were on this level of high, we were in growth mode, that it was time to sell. That was always a vision of ours, to do this thing and then eventually sell it, which was also a 9-month process. And so we found the most amazing buyer. The company continues to thrive and exist, which was a big part of, you know, the exit strategy that was important to us. I'm like, there's been so much. I'm like,
I love it all. I love it all.
Oh, wow. I've only taken you to 2022. And you understand, naturally, there was questions and knocks on the door of like, how did you do it? I want to launch a brand. I want to scale a brand to exit. And so I fell into coaching and mentorship, really women of product and service-based businesses that wanted to follow a similar path. And yet last year, again, I felt the inkling to start another product-based business, which is in development behind the scenes. So really entrepreneur through and through. That's my heart. It wasn't the corporate pathway. But let me know where you want to unpack next. Or you want to
There's so many ways we could go. I think you're like most entrepreneurs, especially the crazy ones of us who really have that entrepreneurial spirit where it's, if I've done it once, I could do it again. And if I could do it again, I could do it 4 or 5 more times. But I think the conversation that doesn't get talked a lot about, especially in women-owned businesses is this idea of growing something, scaling it, and selling it. Because I know for a lot of my clients, they're building something that is a part of them. It feels like a part of their identity. And so to ever exit that or to ever sell it feels really scary. Or why would I do that? But I do think it's worth noting, even for some of those entrepreneurs that are maybe in that scale phase and contemplating exiting, what were some of the things that you had to decide? And what were some of the questions that you went through? Just even, hey, is this the right time for us to do it? Is this the right fit? Is this fit into our lifestyle, into what we're going to be focusing on the next 10 years? Take us through that process a little bit.
Of course. A big thing to know here was I was a partnership, right? So there was two families and this was dual decisions. I was only 50% of the decision maker. And so everything really had to fit both of our desires and future desires. And so we did decide very early on, literally before we launched, that ideally this is
that was the goal
that we exit eventually. What we weren't attached to or didn't know was the timing of it. And so when I look at the timing of the entire business, which was 6 years, when we reached our top, which actually was an interesting opportunity, we partnered with Jillian Harris, who's a huge influencer in Canada, in North America, I would say, and we were able to co-create a product with her. So we co-created a product that really skyrocketed our brand awareness. And that's really that moment where we said, okay, if we are going to exit, if we are going to sell, then this is the moment to start exploring this. And we hired a business broker. The other thing that we were so clear on is obviously we were building a conscious company. And so for us, it wasn't about the sale. It wasn't, oh, we just find any buyer that the broker brings and we're going to exit. It really was fueled with intention, again, just like the entire process of the company and the entire journey. And so we really wanted someone who held a similar passion of what this company means and what it's doing for families around the world. We really brought mindfulness to the homes of families by introducing it through a beautiful, relatable, approachable product. It was really that mission of ours for families that maybe weren't into personal development yet, or maybe didn't know what affirmations were, or maybe didn't know how to introduce mindfulness practices to the home. We did it in a way that was beautiful and approachable. We were in the influencer era, right? And so we knew if we could create something gorgeous that could sit on a coffee table, that women could take pictures of, that was the gateway. And then it brought all of that intentionality into their home. So once they opened up the cards and started reading the cards with their children, that's when that impact, the thing that we intended was that, okay, now we have a practice that's going to over time become a foundation for these children. Like now they're practicing I am statements. Now they're focusing on what they're grateful for. And we brought, the cards are so beautiful and they can still be purchased on Indigo. And the new owner's website. But it's that was so important for us is if someone takes it over, are they going to hold the same amount of love and respect and intentionality? And are they going to continue to grow it? And so I've noticed she's introduced new products. It's still at Indigo. Like it's what we intended.
Yeah, you wanted it to continue growing without you.
Yes. And so the broker just wasn't bringing the buyers. When you work with a business broker, oftentimes it's based on numbers. Can I buy this cheap, sell it, maybe expand it, grow it, and then likely eventually sell it again? And I'm like, that's our baby. That's not what we want to happen.
Yeah.
And so we were probably at 6 months with the business broker and I had this intuitive hit. And it was like, your buyer lives on your Instagram. And I was at my parents' house. It was like a chaotic summer. It was June. I remember June 2022. And I jumped on my Instagram stories and I revealed that, hey, this is what we're intending to do. This is who we're looking for. And the buyer came from my Instagram stories.
Oh my gosh. I literally have goosebumps because that is such a feminine way of selling a business. I literally love it. That is the way that, like, that's how cool that in today's day and age, that's even possible, you know?
Exactly. So we tried the masculine. We tried to have interviews with these people. We're like, this is just not a fit. And that's not our intention, just to do a quick exit. And so that's not what happened. We had, you know, obviously months of the hand over, and that was a lot of due diligence and a lot of work. But we had the broker to facilitate that, which was awesome. So we continued to work with her. She facilitated the agreement. Sale. And I've only recently started talking about this, but then there was this phase of duality, of celebration and grief, because it's your baby. Mm-hmm. It is. And it's a big piece of your identity, especially looking at the amount of time that you have invested in growing something. And so this is what you mentioned. If someone's thinking about it, yes, there's fear because it's your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Creation, it's your baby. And so I realized recently that I did not take enough time to celebrate and to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing that, and I've been just holding it in my heart and thinking about it and sending it love and saying, I miss you. Mm-hmm. And as I'm creating the new, like, I still miss you. And you will always be infused with my energy for as long as—
Totally.
Right?
Totally. And that's the thing about businesses too, that I don't think gets talked about enough. There's an energy, there's a pulse to them. And when you've spent years and time and tears and everything pouring into it, your energy is going to remain intact inside of that business in one form or another. We were talking a little bit about just self-development in general before we started recording. And you're like, I've been on this self-healing journey in this path. So can you walk us through that a little bit in the recent years? So it sounds like handling some of those beliefs that came up, that identity crisis a little bit. I can resonate with that totally as I've stepped more into coaching and pulling out of my first thing that was chiropractic. What's, oh my God, am I still a chiropractor? Like, I still want to be a chiropractor. I still do it a couple times a month, but it's different when it's not your thing that you're doing every single day from the time you wake up till the time you go to sleep. And so what has your self-healing journey look like?
Yeah, and it's exactly that. It's like this state of what is my identity now? Like, I was known as a co-founder of this company that is no longer me. And so interestingly enough, like, I have felt like a startup entrepreneur again, which I'm assuming you would naturally feel the same way, which is also an interesting stage. Am I a startup entrepreneur? I have a decade of experience.
Totally.
Me. And yet it's just such an interesting feeling. What I realized for myself is that I've always been this type A, masculine driven, which is really how North American society programs us. And I don't speak for the rest of the world because this is where I've grown businesses, but it really is the hustle and the grind and really working like a man that is celebrated in corporate and in the entrepreneurial playground. And so recently I've been looking at, okay, what is the feminine? Yes, we're hearing more about it on Instagram and on social media. And I really didn't see it as, oh, I take baths in the middle of the day. Like, that's not me. I am naturally masculine in a way of structure, the logic, the decision-making. When I feel it, I go for it. And yet I started becoming really curious about the feminine. I also have two girls. And so how do I mother them in this flow of masculine and feminine? And so we came to Mexico. We came to Mexico for vacation. And we just felt that we're like, what would it look like if we spent more of our year here? And so the decision was made in this playful energy of let's experience, let's explore. We're both online entrepreneurs. We get to do this. And so we came here and I thought, great, it's an experience. It's an opportunity for my girls to learn Spanish and experience the Waldorf school here. And yet it was like my initiation. It was a deep healing journey that over the last 18 months, and I can see myself like I've grounded and I've landed and now I'm able to talk about that. But it was chaos. It was uncertainty. It was questioning my identity and who am I now? And yes, I moved into coaching, but I didn't know what that big vision was. And I just allowed myself to be and to flow in this uncertainty and really try things on that I normally wouldn't. What does that look like? I would go and do dance on the beach in the mornings where normally it's 9 o'clock. It's time to get started. There's emails to be sent out and funnels to be created and offers to be sold. And I just went against this rhythm. That was what I knew. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was taking the morning off and going to dance on the beach, which, girl, it was so uncomfortable.
I bet.
What am I doing? Ecstatic dancing on the beach when I'm meant to be working. And I would take more time to flow through yoga classes. And I would just go to the ocean before pickup and float, like things that were out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And yet, when you think about it from an outside perspective, how can that be so uncomfortable?
Yes. It's like, that's living. That's like enjoying your environment. But why are we so programmed to be, oh, you're not being productive. You're not being efficient. Get your shit together.
And the guilt around that, that is self-inflicted guilt. And yet it's what we see as the norm. And I did that. And then I hired mentors and coaches that I would normally not hire. So I worked closely with Neil Donald Walsh, the author of Conversations with God, who's an 85-year-old man, right? Like completely opposite. And that became my deep devotion, is I'm going to do things differently, make decisions in ways that I normally wouldn't. And that allowed me to tap into this other side of me, which is the feminine nature, which we all hold, both men and women hold these frequencies within. But what I realized is they're just completely unbalanced. And for me, it became this reintegration. And yes, sometimes the masculine leads. And yes, sometimes the feminine leads. For example, yesterday, I spent 4 hours on inner world work before I went and took any action for my business. I did a 2-hour tea ceremony. Then I went for an energy clearing. And I laughed. I was like, holy shit, I don't even recognize myself. How is that possible? But when we have the structures in place, like when we have the funnel set up, when we have the automations, when we have our emails programmed and potentially our reels, that's the structure that continues to work, that allows us to then flow in and out. And so now I really start my days with the feeling like, how do I want to feel today? And then what is that going to support? What action is then going to support that feeling? And it's been transformative. Again, 18 months of complete discomfort. Now I'm like, okay, I feel like I've grounded and landed and it feels so freaking good. And I just want to take more women through this process.
I think to your point, it's almost like a permission slip that comes later in your entrepreneurship journey, because I don't want startups to be listening to this and being like, I need to ground for 4 hours in the morning. No, you're broke. You need to do something about your business. Okay. But I do think even finding myself 10 years into entrepreneurship, like I'm having a hard time breaking that pattern that I created and that got me to where I am of wake up, work, produce. And even thinking about work in the middle of the night. Like I think sometimes when you're inspired, that naturally comes through. I always say God talks to me at 3 a.m. and gives me my best ideas. That's different, but I am finding it a permission slip. Like having 10 years under my belt to be able to be, what's it look like for me to explore how I actually want to spend my day today? And because I'm not in fight or flight, because my businesses are self-sustaining machines, because I have amazing team that's making sure the funnel and the automation is working, making sure the patients are taken care of, I get to have a little bit more flow and flexibility in my day. And that's an exciting thing, I think, to look forward to. Maybe when you are in startup phase or you're in those first few years and you're like, God, I feel like I'm grinding. So did we. And there's still periods of grind. You're in a launch or you're starting something new. You're spending more energy and time on it. But that is something that I don't think gets talked about. Life is supposed to get a little bit easier and a little more fun when your basic needs are met.
Exactly. And we get to decide. Right? Mm-hmm. We all have a choice. And I feel this conversation really is about the awareness of, okay, how am I working now? I just want to go back to your disclaimer because this is so important. So my main coaching is startup. Like you go on my Instagram, it's a startup strategist. I work with startup energy. And yes, girl, there is sacrifice. There's devotion. You're moving through it. And what I'm trying to support these founders in is this awareness of, okay, if you're feeling like you're pushing, you're forcing, you're trying to make it happen, what if you just took a pause and saw if there was another way, which is not how I did it in the first chapter of my life. I would just push through it and
no matter what.
Make it happen, right? Yeah. Make it happen. But now, yes, startups take a lot more time. You're building the foundations. But where can you bring this mindfulness and awareness now? So that you don't get to the next stage of scale and possible exit. And you're like, I'm exhausted, right? Yeah. It actually doesn't need to be exhausting if you start to infuse it with that awareness today and make those decisions. Okay, if this isn't flowing, there has to be another way.
Yes. And there's a reason. And I say that when you are in alignment and when you are living your authentic truth, shit just happens so much quicker for you. So fast. And people don't want to hear that because that means you have to go internal and fix why you're not aligned. And that's a scary place to be. And not everybody's ready for that conversation. But I know I've seen it just with building this other company because I'm so in alignment and so authentic. I am scaling so quickly because it just feels good and it feels easy and opportunities are landing in my lap because I'm showing up every day and feeling at peace and inspired and things like that. Where to your point, if building a business isn't feeling like that, there's got to be a misalignment somewhere.
Exactly. And you just said the golden nugget. You're operating from this feeling of,
mm-hmm.
And that's what's making you magnetic. That's where all, like, you're a magnet, and this is where these opportunities, people, clients, everything is being attracted to you because this is your foundation. You are the embodiment of this feeling is, hey, I trust everything is now set up. I trust my team. I trust my systems and structures. I get to show up in this frequency of play, and look how magnetic you are. That's work. How can I embody the feeling of the thing that I desire?
Yes. So good. So good. We could chat forever and ever about this because I love this stuff.
I was going to ask you, share with me your alignment practices because it's these little shifts, these micro moments that make all the difference.
So for me, what it was is my first thing into being like, is there a more aligned way for me to spend most of my time? I just sat down and was like, if today was my last day, is this how I would want to spend it based on how my schedule looked today? If today was my last day on earth, in enough days in a row, that answer was no. And I was, okay, that's not cool because tomorrow's not promised. So what can I do today to get me closer to that perfect day and that perfect vision? And I naturally, being a serial entrepreneur as well, I really do love work. It gives me a lot of joy. It lights me up. I want to do the work that gets me the most excited. When I want to delegate the rest, because there's somebody out there that wants to be on my team handling that work that doesn't light me up. And so I really just started taking a step back and being like, okay, what would I want my morning to look like? What would I want my evening to look like? That's what I have the most control over. And then between 9 to 5, what would I want that to look like? And so really going down that path and figuring it out is what encouraged me to step back from patient care and dive further into coaching. And when I took that first step that was extremely scary, it was like the stars just aligned and it was like, hi, you've arrived. We've been waiting for you.
Thank you for doing the work.
Yes. And it was conversations with my husband too, who's also an entrepreneur. And it was, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And of course, he gave me full support, but he was excited about it too. And he's like, oh my God, I think you would be great at this. I think you should do it. And it just really was that journey. And I think I'm still in the middle of that journey and embodying it even more. But the way that I spend my days now, doing podcasts, coaching, meeting with my team lights me up so much. I can't imagine doing anything else. But had I stayed in that spot of being comfortable, things were good. It's not like I stepped away to build another company for money per se, because we were making good money, but it's more following that soul calling of, hey, I think there's something else out there. I think there's another level that you haven't gotten to yet within yourself of exploring what makes you really on fire for life.
Oh, this is it. This is exactly it. And this is why you're so magnetic and I can feel it. It's the same process for me. One of my mentors said, I wrote her and then I became her. And this is the identity work that I've been so obsessed with, if that's what we want to call it, or devoted to, is who is she? This higher version of me, this next level version of me, like, how does she feel? How does she move? How does she speak? And every single day, first tuning into the feeling of, because we know the laws of manifestation, it's not just about the thoughts, but it really is about the feeling. And so today I choose to feel magnetic. But what is that? What is that magnetism? And really finding that and feeling that within yourself and then making every single decision from that space. That is the work. And so if you guys want a tidbit, it's, I wrote her, write her out. Who is she? This version of you that is building the empire. And yet she feels so grounded. She is magnetic. She attracts versus chasing and pushing everything away with that desperate frequency. It's the needy girlfriend.
Like, yes. No, stage 5 clinger.
No one's attracted to her. Actually, my little one's a stage 5 clinger right now. And I love it.
My son too. I'm like, I can't do anything without you. No, this is a season, so I'm going to embrace it because it is the cutest thing ever.
Exactly. And so, and then stepping into that, and you got to choose it consciously until you become it. And once you become it, those synchronicities, like you said, those miracles, that magic, that flow happens because of who you become.
So good. So good. I love it. As we wrap up here, where can our listeners connect with you? You mentioned Instagram. Do you hang out the most over there?
Yes. I'm on Instagram _AnnaLozano. And then my website's AnnaLozano.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I absolutely love this conversation.
Thanks, Steph.
Hey there. Do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.